Hi, everyone, and thanks for tuning into UBS Global Research Pod Hub, a channel that shares insights from economists, strategists, and equity analysts on the pivotal questions and events shaping today's markets. My name is David Vogt, the U.S. Hardware and Networking Analyst at UBS, and I'm here with John Lamb, Head of APAC Property Research, and Phil Campbell, New Zealand TMT Analyst. In this episode, we're going to be taking a high-level look at data centers in Asia-Pacific. So, John, I wanted to start at a high level to talk about the impact of AI on APAC data centers. In the States, we're seeing experiencing rapid growth due to the rise of AI, digital transformation, and cloud. I would imagine in Europe and Asia, it's similar. So can you share with us what the numbers look like when we look at the capacity of APAC data centers, and does this expansion look rational to you?
So on this topic, we see that there has been an investment boom because of the AI. But when we try to backtest the capacity addition number in the past 2 years, what we found out here is that the actual capacity addition actually was not as much as the planned capacity 2 years ago. And therefore, when we look at the capacity addition, we do not just look at the planned capacity, but also about the power plant, the power supply chain, by working with our regional utility teams and also the power supply team as well. And therefore, we have two scenarios regarding on the capacity addition. The planned case scenario suggests will be about 26% CAGR for 2024 to 2027 of the APAC data center capacity. But what we think is that if we try to incorporate the power constraint scenario into the capacity numbers, then we'll probably expect about 21% capacity growth in the APAC data center capacity addition. So I think maybe the 21% may look more rational to me after considering the power constraint into the consideration.
Very interesting, John. And so before I turn it over to Phil, just for context, in the U.S., we see CapEx increasing in the data center at least 30% over the next couple of years. So directionally, I think we're consistent with your view. But Phil, how do you see demand growth for data centers in your markets?
Yeah, thanks, David. We've done quite a lot of work on the data center demand in this Q-Series report. The methodology we're using is probably more of a top-down methodology rather than bottom-up, just given the challenges, particularly trying to identify, the different chip supply into different countries or even different regions. So what we're looking at is GDP growth by country. We're looking at the underlying data growth. We look at cloud migration and how that's going to progress over time. And then, a new piece of analysis in this report is the AI multiplier, which we have actually quantified. And we assume that that increases from around 1x up to over 2x in some countries and as high as 3x in some over the next 5 years. So what that results in is the kind of underlying data growth of 18% compound annual growth per annum. That's then boosted by AI demand, which is growing at kind of 30 to 40% per annum. And then that translates into overall APAC data center demand of greater than 20% per annum between 2024 and 2030.
That's a great answer. So, John, turning back to you, in the United States, we hear from a lot of investors that data centers are very energy intensive, and also there's a shortage of power. So we think that's a key factor here that limits the deployment of data centers in the U.S. To what extent are you seeing that in APAC? Is power supply a bottleneck? How should we think about that?
So overall, data center account for about 2.4% of the power consumption in APAC. But then our utility teams suggest us to look at the reserve margin rather than the overall power consumption demand, mainly because of the volatility of the power demand over time within a day. And our utility teams define 30% reserve margin as the threshold. More than 30% is ample, less than that is tight. And our reserve margin estimate for 2027 is after factoring the capacity addition for data center and also for the AI power. The conclusion here is that we see Australia and China has ample reserve margin or power supply, but then for Japan and India would be tight supply here. And then for the other country, we'll be sitting in the middle. And then another point we'd like to highlight is about the AI-related demand actually just increased suddenly over the past 1 or 2 years. And that was not factoring into the government spending or planning 2 years ago. And therefore, when we think about the power supply bottleneck, we may also have to think about how is the supply response or the construction time for the power plant for the related power supply. So say, for example, the construction time for a coal-fired power or gas-fired power is about 27 to 30 months in China and roughly about 3 years for APEC excluding China. And nuclear power will take even longer to construct at about 6 to 8 years. And therefore, when we think about the supply response, maybe we also have to think about the supply response from the power plant and also the power grid-related investment.
Interesting. So let me bring it together. So when we talk to investors, as you just talked about, power and supply and energy are a huge issue, but we're still seeing tremendous strength in AI demand. So if we take the strength in AI demand and we kind of cobble together with the power issues that you just laid out and the energy consumption, how do you think about the supply of data centers in APAC in 2030? Maybe I'll open up to both John and Phil on this one. And more importantly, when you think about the oversupply issues, what countries should we focus on? Is there a better country to focus on? Or you're going to see sort of an equal issue across most countries across the region? Maybe we'll just start with John and then take Phil from there.
So after factoring all these capacity numbers into our model and also working with our utility teams, so what we see here is that India and Japan will see a tight supply in terms of power. And then China and also Australia will have a more ample power supply. And therefore, when we think about the data center capacity addition, that's why we have a two scenario. One is the planned case, another one is the power constraint case. And power constraint case means that the planned capacity may not be able to add online, and that is mainly constrained by the 30% reserve margin. And therefore, there's a reason why we have two numbers, the 26% capacity addition and also the 21% capacity addition for the 2024 to 2027 on a CAGR basis, based on the planned case and also the power constraint case here.
Interesting. And Phil? How do you see it playing out?
Yeah, look, I think in terms of some of the other analysis we've done in terms of trying to quantify the probability of a supply glut, we have used a Monte Carlo simulation. What that does is puts different probability distributions around each country in each year for things like the AI multiplier, the cloud penetration. We also run it for different supply scenarios, as John was saying, you know, depending on land availability or power constraints. And so I suppose what that probability analysis shows you is that in APAC overall, there's a probability of a supply glut of around 16%. So it's relatively low. And we also adjust that supply for occupancy ratios, typically around that kind of 80 to 85%, which is normal. And if you look at the countries that are better or worse on that metric, you know, China probably has the greatest probability of a supply glut, around 20%, but still relatively low. And then obviously Singapore, which has very, very kind of tight supply, the probability of a glut there is 0%. So, you know, obviously very, very low. And Australia comes in, well, Australia and New Zealand come in relatively low as well at kind of around 8%, 8 to 10%.
Phil, great answer to how you're thinking about the implications of oversupply in the data center market. So I was thinking, you know, both John and Phil, we touched on AI demand, we touched on power, we touched on energy. How should we think about the investment implications? We get a lot of questions from investors to think, hey, do we invest in data center operators or should we focus on the power supply chain? Which is the more attractive investment? Maybe I'll turn it over to you, John, first. How are you thinking about the investment implications?
So given the power constraint, we see investment opportunity also arise from investing in the power supply chain in addition to the data center operators. But then at the same time, the market could be already excited about this, and therefore, in our investment implication, we also look at the UBS Hoped valuation model. Basically, we look at the cash flow-based return on investment compared to the market-implied cash flow-based investment. And the benefit of using the Hoped valuation model is that it is comparable across different sectors. So the conclusion here is that after factoring what has been priced in, the liquid cooling and also stable system would rank higher than the data center. While for the power generators, chemical materials, the market may be already too excited here. And then second, regarding on the data center operators, So in our report, we have a supply glut, the probability by countries, and therefore we try to rank the countries, different data center operators, based on the supply glut probability and also the valuation. And the valuation, again, we also look at the cash flow-based return on investment. So basically, the conclusion here is that we believe Singapore, Malaysia, and South Korea will look best positioned after taking into consideration about the supply glut probability and also the valuation.
Now, interesting insight, John. So maybe, Phil, same question to you. How do you think about the investment implications? Are data center operators, in your view, more attractive, or how about the power supply chain? I'll let you expand upon that. So please, Phil.
Yeah, thanks, David. Yeah, probably pretty much agree with John on that as well. There's quite an interesting chart in our report that John highlighted, figure two, where we do look at the supply glut probability by country, you know, more attractive to less attractive. And then we also look at the HALT-based valuation. So when you do look at that from a data center perspective, you do see, you know, Singapore, Malaysia, and South Korea typically coming out more attractive, and that's basically because the supply glut probability is quite low or relatively low, and then also their valuations on a HALT basis are probably more attractive compared to, you know, China has quite attractive valuations, but as I say, has a higher probability of a supply glut. Australia comes out pretty well. It's not got a high probability of a supply glut, but the valuations on a HALT basis are, you know, quite expensive relative to the other data center operators. But as John alluded to, you know, the other way to play this is obviously through the power operators. You've got certain countries where there's going to be shortage of power, obviously implies quite a lot of capex and infrastructure. You know, again, particularly kind of India and Japan and those countries like that. So that's the other way to play. But as John said, you've probably got some expectation already built into the price, but that's the other way to play the stocks.
Great answer, Phil. Incredibly insightful. John, Phil, insightful as always. Thank you for visiting the UBS Research Pod Hub. That was an introduction and overview of data centers in Asia Pacific with me, David Vogt, the UBS Enterprise Hardware Networking Analyst, John Lamb, Head of APAC Property Research, and Phil Campbell, New Zealand TMT Analyst. Tune in again for more investment insights. Thank you.
This content has been prepared by UBS AG, its subsidiaries, and/or affiliates, and is purely informational in nature. It is not investment research and does not contain an investment recommendation nor investment or professional advice. It is not an offer or solicitation to engage in any investment activity, and you should seek your own financial, tax, and legal advice before engaging in any such activity. UBS has no responsibility to you in relation to this content. It has no regard to your personal circumstances or investment objectives, and receiving it does not imply any form of client relationship with UBS for any legal, regulatory, or tax purpose. This content is not intended for distribution into any jurisdiction where to do so would be contrary to law or regulation. UBS does not accept any liability over the content of such material or reliance upon any information contained herein. The views and opinions expressed by any guest speaker or third party are not those of UBS. Accordingly, UBS does not accept any liability over any such views and opinions expressed by such persons. This content is the valuable intellectual property of UBS, and UBS specifically prohibits the redistribution of it in whole or in part without its prior written permission. UBS 2025, the key symbol, and UBS are among the registered and unregistered trademarks of UBS. All rights reserved.